we are in the days between the Ascension and Pentecost. We're in our novena to the Holy Spirit. And today we celebrate the feast of Saint Matthias, very fittingly celebrated in this week, because the choice of Matthias took place between the Ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit. Well, today's readings bring us to two different places. The first reading brings us to that moment when Matthias was chosen. The Gospel takes us back to the Last Supper. So we jump back from the later part of Easter to the later part of Lent, back to Holy Week, which is the last time we thought about Judas. You know, we don't think much about Judas except during Holy Week and on the Feast of St. Matthias. Other than that, we kind of forget about him. But going back to Holy Week, I don't know what happens in your parishes, but in this parish, typically what happens on Holy Thursday, the 12 men who are chosen to have their feet washed are in the procession at the beginning of the Mass. And before the procession, everybody's kind of standing around, and these 12 men, sometimes they're wearing like a sash or a white cloak of some kind to distinguish these are the ones representing the 12 apostles. And invariably, in the banter that goes on before the Mass, people start asking which one of the 12 is Judas. And then they're pointing at each other and joking around with each other who's going to be the Judas. And of course, no one wants to be Judas. And if we get past the joking level, we realize, no, we definitely do not want to be Judas. Surely it is not I, Lord. So the parish always says, well, the 12 are representative of the group. They're not one-to-one. So there's not one Judas and one Peter and one Matthew and one Thomas. They're just the 12. But the issue comes up, one of the 12 was Judas. One of the 12 was the betrayer. And here in today's Gospel, Jesus is speaking about the commandment of love. He's speaking about the gift of loving as he loves, of being loved as the Father loves him. And he speaks about choosing the 12. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. I chose you, 12. I chose you, Judas. You see him continually trying to remind Judas of the dignity of his call. But Judas already, at the Last Supper, had already determined to betray the Lord. So even as his feet were being washed, Jesus said, not all of you are clean. Not all of you are clean, because Judas was unclean. Okay, that brings us to today's feast, and we go back, now we're going to jump up from the Last Supper up to the days after the Ascension. We go to Acts chapter 1. This week of all weeks is a good time to read from Acts chapter 1. I'm going to pull out my Bible here because we're going to get the whole chapter here. Now, we read the beginning of chapter 1 on the Feast of the Ascension, because the beginning of chapter 1 of Acts picks up where Luke left off. Luke's Gospel leaves off at the Ascension, and then it picks up at the Ascension, Jesus' last words to the apostles about waiting for the coming of the power, the promise of the Father, and then Jesus is seen ascending into heaven. And the angels tell the 11, well, don't stand here looking up into the clouds. He will return. And then that's the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1 we heard on the Feast of the Ascension. Verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, which tells us that the Ascension took place from the Mount of Olives, which you might not have noticed on the feast day. But they went from the Mount of Olives back into Jerusalem. Then the very next verse says that they entered the city. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. They went to the upper room, the cenacle, and then it mentions all their names, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, 11. All these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So that's what we're doing in the Novena to the Holy Spirit. We're devoting ourselves to prayer, together with Mary, We still have our image of Our Lady of Fatima here from yesterday. So it's symbolic of we're gathered with Mary in the upper room, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're gathered with, not only with the 11, but with some women and with Jesus' brothers. And the very next sentence is where we pick up with today's first reading. This is verse 15, that Peter stood up in those days, and there was about 120 people there. So it wasn't just the 11 and Mary and some women. A lot of disciples were gathered in that 10-day period. And that's where we pick up. Peter takes the initiative to say, well, Judas was one of us. He was chosen as one of us, but he abandoned his ministry. And that today's reading takes us up to verse 15 to 17. Then it skips over some verses, and then it goes to verse 20. And this confused me. Many times has confused me, maybe it confused you too, because the way it says it in the liturgical reading, because of the omission, it says, Judas was numbered among us. He was allotted a share in our ministry, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his encampment become desolate, and may no one dwell in it, and may another take his office. Which sounds like two opposite things, right? There shouldn't be a replacement, but there should be a replacement. Let his encampment be desolate, no one should take his place. On the other hand, someone should take his office. I said, what is this? Why is he quoting two passages that seem to be opposite of each other? And then I realized it's because of the verses that are skipped over. So I'm going to read to you the missing verses that are omitted from this reading. So here's Peter saying that Judas was numbered among us and he was allotted a share in this ministry. Verse 18. He bought a parcel of land with the wages of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his insides spilled out. This became known to everyone who lived in Jerusalem, so that the parcel of land was called in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his encampment become desolate. So the encampment is the parcel of land on which he died or in which he's buried. And that's the missing part. So it makes a little bit more sense. In other words, no one's going to live on that land. And we know it became a cemetery for foreigners. The potter's field became the cemetery for abandoned people. No one lives there. And then may another take his office. That is what we get to today. Now, this points out that there's a little bit of ambiguity about the fate of Judas. We're more familiar with the tradition in Matthew's gospel that said he went and hung himself. He threw the money in the treasury, then he went off and hung himself. And then the chief priest said, well, what are we going to do with the money? Let's go by the potter's field and dedicate it to the cemetery. But in this tradition, Judas bought the field with the money, and he went there, and then he fell down and exploded somehow, or his insides fell out. I don't know what that means. But anyway, that he died on that field, and that's why it's called Akeldama, or Hakeldama, the field of blood. Anyway, the important thing is Judas is dead, and the field purchased with the money is the cemetery for the foreigners. Why is it so important that Judas is dead? Because it's because he's dead that he has to be replaced, not because he's a betrayer. You see, if Jesus were still alive, what would the apostles do? Peter, of all people, who was also guilty of denying the Lord, a grave sin against the Lord, Peter, of all people, would know that forgiveness would be available, even for a betrayer, if he weren't dead. So, and the church leaves it a little bit ambiguous. What happens to Judas? Did he kill himself? Did he die? Is he condemned in the lowest pits of hell? That's one of the traditions. If you follow Dante, in Dante's Inferno, he's in the lowest. But on the other hand, we don't really know. Did he repent before he fell down and died? We don't know. And the church is maybe deliberately ambiguous because we don't really know. And my point here is, he has to be replaced because he died, not because he's a sinner. Because all the apostles are sinners. And everybody whom the Lord has chosen, other than the Blessed Virgin Mary, is a sinner. That's why when the 12 men are gathered on Holy Thursday for the washing of the feet, they're all a little uncomfortable because Why was I chosen to be one of those to have my feet washed? Well, all of us are chosen because God loves us and wants us to be saved, and all of us have to be washed because we're all sinners. Okay. Now, Peter's conviction is that Judas has to be replaced. He has a scriptural justification for it. And then he says the qualification of a replacement for Judas is someone who was with us this whole time, from the baptism of John up until the day he was taken up, to become with us a witness of his resurrection. So this is a kind of job description of an apostle. To know the whole story from the baptism of John up until the ascension, and to stand as a witness of the resurrection, someone who has seen the risen Lord. We know that Jesus, in the 40 days of his appearances, one time appeared to 500 brothers at once. So a lot of people saw him risen. Well, they pick out two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justus. He has three names, and Matthias. And that's all, that's the only time Matthias is mentioned, and he gets picked by lot, and that's it. You never hear anything else about him. So his name is mentioned twice, one in the nomination, and then one when the lot falls to him, and he's joined or counted among the 11. He becomes the 12th. Why is this such a joyful feast day for the church? It's a reminder to us that the church, the mission of the church, is not defeated by sin, it's not defeated by betrayal, it's not defeated by death. We're all sinners, and everyone in the church is a sinner. We all die, we're all going to die and have to be replaced, and the church goes on, the mission of the church goes on. As scandalized as we might be by the evil done by our clergy, by our bishops, we do not lose faith. We do not give up on the church, because the church is entrusted with the mission of Jesus Christ. The church is entrusted with the Holy Spirit to do this great work. Jesus says, "You will do greater works than I've done." The church has to do that. That's God's will. If people, clergy or lay people, turn away from that choice of God, from that will of God, it's to their destruction. It's to their disadvantage. Hopefully, whenever we sin, we repent. We repent immediately. We don't give up on ourselves either. But the point is, if someone turns away from the will of God, God will choose someone else. God will choose a replacement. God is determined that this project continue. So that's what I think is a big part of the lesson for today, to have confidence in the mission of the church. And not to be, of course we're scandalized, but not to be discouraged or not to despair at the lack of qualification that all of us have. The apostles weren't qualified either. They weren't. They were weak, they were sinners. But Jesus chose them. "It was not you who chose me," he says, "but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." That choice is God's choice. That's God's will. And let God's will be done. That's what we say, right? Every day. Your will be done. Even though when we sin, His will is not done. But when we repent, His will is done again, because His will is to save us from sin and then send us out to bear much fruit. So we have been chosen out of the world to bear fruit that will last, together with Matthias, together with everybody who is baptized. May we continue to say yes to God. Your will be done.